Good morning, everyone. A happy and peaceful New Year to you all. I hope and pray it will be a good year for you and for your families and for the church, and not least the church and parish of St. Ninian's Old. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory Psalm 100, found at hymn 63, all people that on earth do dwell. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 145. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Let us pray. God of new beginnings, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We, your people, gather at the dawn of a new year, and aware of our need for you, we seek your blessing on our lives and the lives of our families, our friends, and our church. God of all the ages, in whose sight 1,000 years are like a day that has passed. Since the beginning of time, you have watched over your people and dwelt among them. Inspire us with the knowledge that you are always with us, and grant that in every circumstance we may look to you, the one who is good and whose faithfulness continues through all generations. Gracious God, we confess that in our folly, we can take your love for granted and fail to count our blessings. We recall times in the past when we thought that we knew best, and rather than seek your guidance, we went our own way. And we acknowledge with shame that we have said and done things that have hurt other people. Lord God, whose mercies are new every morning, in your grace, forgive us our sins and look kindly upon us that we may embrace the opportunity to begin again and commit ourselves anew to you, the God of time and eternity, who is most worthy of glory, honour, and praise. These things we humbly ask in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. And as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. There are quite a few things to draw to your attention this morning. First of all, there is a citation from the Presbytery of Perth, which will be read in every church within the bounds of the Presbytery today and then again next Sunday. Notice is hereby given that the Presbytery of Perth will meet on Thursday, 16th January 2025 at St. Matthew's Parish Church, Perth at 7 p.m. for the presentation of the Consolidated Presbytery Mission Plan. All congregations are cited to attend the meeting in their interests. The meeting will be held both in person and online. Please note that a maximum of two people from each congregation, in addition to the minister or interim moderator and presbytery elder, will be permitted to attend and may speak if desired. Congregational representatives are politely asked to refrain from speaking if they concur with the content of the Consolidated Presbytery Mission Plan, signed the Reverend Dr. John Ferguson Clark to the Presbytery of Perth. I want just to say a very, very brief word about our own situation as it stands at the moment. The Presbytery Plan designates St. Ninian's Old Parish Church Building Category A, which in effect means it is an essential building and will remain open. It encourages greater cooperation between our own congregation and the congregations of Holyrood Viewfield and Park Church. And it envisages an eventual reduction in the number of full-time ministers of Word and Sacrament from 3 to 2. Representatives of the Presbytery Planning Committee will meet with myself and my two colleagues, Alan Miller and Atty Van Wyk, and the three session clerks in due course, and I will report back to you on the outcome of that meeting. Needless to say, I commend the Presbytery, the Planning Committee, and all the congregations within the bounds of the Presbytery to your prayers. This is not an easy time, but with God's help and guidance, we'll get through it to his praise and glory. Now, the Kirk session will meet in the session house following the service next Sunday morning, when there'll be an opportunity for the session to comment further, if desired, on the presbytery plan. And now, happily, I'm required to read an edict in connection with the ordination and admission of elders. Jeanette Helen Coulthard, William Fraser Evans, Wilson Stephen Henry, Christopher Mackay, Christine Sarah Purser, and Stephen Andrew Livingston Reed, members of this congregation, have been elected to be ruling elders. And Jeanette Helen Coulthard, William Fraser Evans, Wilson Stephen Henry, Christopher Mackay, Christine Sarah Purser, and Stephen Andrew Livingston Reed have accepted office as elders. If anyone has any objections why any of these members should not be ordained or admitted to office, they state their objection at the meeting of the Kirk session in the McMichael Chapel on Sunday, the 19th of January 2025 at 10:15 a.m. If no relevant objection regarding life or doctrine is made and substantiated, the Kirk session will proceed to the ordination and admission. By order of the Kirk session, Leslie Asher, session clerk. And once again, I'm required to read this edict next Sunday. But we look forward, God willing, to the ordination and admission of new elders a fortnight today. Stirling Kirks Together will host a lunch in Park Church Hall this coming Wednesday at 12 noon. You would note that I said in my remarks about the presbytery plan that the congregations of the Old Parish and Holyrood Viewfield and Park Church are encouraged to work together, and we've been doing that for quite some time, and we'll hope to do that and to do more together in the months and the years to come. But this is one such joint venture, the lunch, the monthly lunch, and this month it's on Wednesday at 12. In our own church hall, there'll be a soup and sandwich lunch on Saturday from 12 to 1:30. Please do come and bring a friend. The Boys Brigade quiz night, the annual quiz night, will take place in the parish halls on Friday the 17th of January at 7:30, and donations for prizes will be welcome. Tickets cost £7.50. These can be purchased through the Boys Brigade website, but I've been told you can also pay at the door. So that's the Boys Brigade quiz night, which is always a great night, and that's Friday the 17th at 7:30. And finally, the Tuesday Group Burn Supper will be on the 28th of this month, and tickets costing £15 will be available from next Sunday. And that, I hope, concludes all the intimations for today. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, hymn 159.
The first reading this morning is Psalm 121 and can be found on page 519 of the Pew Bible, Psalm 121. If I lift up my eyes to the hills, where shall I find help? My help comes only from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot stumble. He who guards you will not sleep. The guardian of Israel never slumbers, never sleeps. The Lord is your guardian, your protector at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will guard you against all harm. He will guard your life. The Lord will guard you as you come and go, now and forevermore. The second reading will be taken from John 1st and verses 1 to 14 and can be found on page 7 to 8. John 1 from verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already was. The Word was in God's presence, and what God was, the Word was. He was with God at the beginning, and through him all things came to be. Without him, no created thing came into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never mastered it. There appeared a man named John. He was sent from God and came as a witness to testify to the light, so that through him all might become believers. He was not himself the light. He came to bear witness to the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was even then coming into the world. He was in the world, but the world, though it owed its being to him, did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people would not accept him. But to all who did accept him, to those who put their trust in him, he gave the right to become children of God. Born not of human stock, by the physical desire of a human father, but of God. So the Word became flesh. He made his home among us, and we saw his glory, such glory as befits the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. As God's people, we are encouraged to look forward in faith, and therefore we sing Andrew Scobie's great hymn, hymn 237, look forward in faith, all time is in God's hand.
Thank you.
Can I remind you that we have a prayer tree which is situated in the McMichael Chapel, and that is the room just off the main vestibule of the church. If there's someone that you would like our prayer team to pray for, please write their name on a tag and attach it to the tree. And likewise, if there's a situation you would like the prayer team to pray for, then do the same. Let us pray. Lord God, our beginning and our ending, we worship you and we give you thanks for the constancy of your love and your care. We thank you that in times past you were there for us. And as we look now to the future, we thank you for your promise to be with us in times to come. Almighty God, as we look forward in faith, we offer you our prayers. We pray for the world, for the leaders of the nations, for an end to conflict and violence, and for that day when none will go without, and all people the world over will have cause to give thanks for their daily bread. We pray for our country, for the Prime Minister and First Minister, and for all who represent us in Westminster and Holyrood. May they look beyond self-interest to the wider needs of the country and be given the gifts they require to honour the trust placed in them. We pray for the church, for all who are part of the body of Christ, for the Church of Scotland, for the Presbytery of Perth, and for individual congregations at this time of challenge and change. Amidst all the planning and discussions, let us not lose sight of our true calling, and keeping our eyes focused upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, let us give our all in his service. Gracious God, whose compassion is without end, we pray for the National Health Service and for all who work within it, seeking to provide care at this time of increased pressure due to winter viruses. We commend to you the lonely, the sick, those in trouble, and all who mourn. As a congregation, we pray for the families and friends of Isabel Knowles and Alan McCreel, and the family of Margaret Curry, whose funeral will be held in the church tomorrow. Be a comfort and strength to them and to all who are in our thoughts at this time of new beginnings. God of all the ages, as we give thanks for all who have gone before us and whom we remember with love, we pray for our families, our friends and ourselves. Surround us and protect us, and let us find strength through knowing that nothing in this world or the world to come can separate us from you or your love as it is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. These things we humbly ask, along with the silent prayers of our hearts, in his name and for his sake. Amen. We sing the hymn 236, 236. Tony is kindly going to play a full introduction. It's March On, My Soul with Strength, March Forward, Void of Fear. I have always been puzzled by the fact that some people in Stirling speak of going up to Glasgow. Perhaps you say that. To me, you go down to Glasgow from Stirling, or perhaps you could get away with saying you go through to Glasgow. But going up, I just don't get it. Maybe someone will explain it to me. Psalm 121 is a well-known psalm. Indeed, it is a personal favourite, though I prefer to read it rather than sing it. That may have something to do with the fact I don't like the set tune, French, hence we don't sing it much in the church. But the words are words of assurance that can really help and encourage us on our life's journey. And as such, they are words that are particularly relevant as we embark on a new year. The old has gone, the new has come. Many, I know, are justifiably relieved to see the back of 2024. I know that for a number of you, it was a difficult year, and you continue to be in my thoughts and prayers. But for others, 2024 was a good year, and the memory of it will linger like a sweet fragrance. But how do we feel as we journey into 2025? It may be worth just pausing for a moment and reflecting on that question. How do we really feel? It is a time of new beginnings. I rather fear I didn't plant my spring bulbs deep enough, as they are already peering through the soil. Another few weeks will see a slight but definite lengthening of daylight, and that will be welcome. But for many, isn't it true that life trundles on much the same as it did before the festive period began? But what about us, you and me? As Christians, we are not exempt from the ups and downs of everyday life. We know what it is to be elated or to feel down. But we are meant to be different in that we have the wonderful assurance that in every circumstance we are not alone, that God is with us. That wonderful truth is what we have just celebrated again at Christmas, that in Jesus God has come to us, Emmanuel, God with us. I like how the Message version of the Bible puts it. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And therefore, with shepherds and wise men, we traveled in our hearts and in our minds to the makeshift cradle, and we looked with wonder and awe at the Christ child. But now, the angels have returned to heaven. A new year has dawned, and as we take down our trees and pack away the Christmas decorations for another year, the joy we knew and savoured with talk of peace and goodwill to all has given way to the reality of life as it is. Up to Glasgow. No, I do not get it. But Psalm 121 is a psalm of ascents. And of course, ascents means to go up. Jerusalem sits on a hill, and no matter what direction you approach it from, you always go up to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was where the pilgrims would go to celebrate the great festivals, including the Passover. But it was not an easy journey. It was not without risk. It was dangerous. It was tiring. And therefore, to keep their spirits up, the pilgrims would sing this psalm and others like it. And that is why Psalm 121 is known by many as the Traveller's Psalm. It was a personal favourite of David Livingstone, the famous missionary and explorer of the continent of Africa. It is said that he read the psalm every day because of the help and the assurance it gave him. I imagine you will be like me in thinking that the world is in a terrible state at this time. There is hunger, poverty, and injustice. There is conflict and uncertainty. And terrorist acts such as the one in New Orleans on New Year's Day has left us with a heightened sense of fear and concern. And I can fully understand why many people despair about the future and are fearful of the kind of world those who come after us will live in. I fully understand that. But can I put it to you, and I do not do this glibly, as Christian people, we should not despair. Because if we are anything, we are a people of great hope. When God came into the world in Jesus, it was not by any means a perfect world. It was a world of sin and sorrow. It was a world with tyrants like Herod. It was a world in which people were living their lives in a way that was contrary to God's purpose and good plan. And yet, God still came. Why? Well, John tells us in the third chapter of his gospel. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. There is a message of great hope. These words are as relevant today as when they were first written. And these words are words that are very much about love. God is with us. Emmanuel. Though all else may change, God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As the psalmist put it, he is our keeper, the very source of our comfort and security. And such is his love. He will always, always be there. Here surely is something to hold on to as we look at the world today. Here is something to remember as we reflect on the church and our own denomination at this time. Here is something to continually call to mind, in face of all our own personal experiences and challenges. If you don't remember anything from this sermon today, I would ask, write down, God is with us. Because I believe that with all my heart, and it gives me personally great hope. I remember coming across these words from many years back. We do not know what the future will hold, but we do know who holds the future. And that should give us the strength, the zeal, and the determination to live our lives to the full, to enjoy them, and to seek, with God's help, to make this world a better world for all. Where does my help come from? That is the question posed at the very outset of Psalm 121. It is also a question that we can ask, but with the psalmist, we can answer it too. Where does my help come from? The powers of the earth, the strength of the hills, princes and rulers? No, not a bit. The psalmist looked up. He lifted his eyes beyond the things of this world, and he looked to God. Jerusalem may have been the pilgrim's goal, but their trust was not in the city. It was in the Lord, the one who is powerful and all-sufficient, the one who is the maker of heaven and earth. These pilgrims didn't need to wait until they reached Jerusalem to know God's protective care. They knew that God was with them, that he would watch over them as they made the journey. He was by their side every step of the way. That is what we can say too. This world is not our home. Heaven, the New Jerusalem, is. And one day, through God's good grace and mercy, we will be there. But we do not need to wait until then to know God's presence and protection. We can know it now because God constantly watches over us. This is what the psalmist proclaimed when he said, "The Lord watches over you." Now, it's one thing to hear these words, but do we believe them? The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. I wonder, did any of you fall asleep in the company of family or friends over Christmas? I did. It's not easy, is it? You've had a good meal. It's warm, you're comfortable, your eyes get heavy, and eventually you yield. And then when you come to, you hope and you pray that no one noticed, but all eyes are on you. We are human. We need to sleep in order to be revived and refreshed and renewed. But God does not. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, and his watchful and loving eye is ever upon us. And therefore, as we embark on this new year and continue our own pilgrim journey, we can trust him completely to care for and protect us, both now and forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As we think of life as a journey and remember the journey that the pilgrims made, it's appropriate to conclude our service by singing the great hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, Pilgrim Through This Barren Land," hymn 167, 167. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore.